You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our subject is the endocannabinoid system. An expert on that subject, today's guest, Lex Pelger, a scientist at CV Sciences. CV Sciences is my preferred brand. You can find them at pluscbdoil.com. That's their website. And do you contribute articles and science contributions there? Because there's a wealth of information available to people besides the product offerings, right, Lex?
Yes, I have some articles of the science on the Plus CBD oil site, but you also can't say quite as much there. And yes. So I put a lot on cvresearch.info, and I also publish at places like the American Journal of Endocannabinoid Medicine, which gets out to a lot of doctors, and Project CBD as well. I try to pick venues for education that it'll reach a wide audience, like TikTok as well. I put everything I can legally on the Plus CBD oil site. But after that, when I'm trying to reach doctors or consumers, I go to where they'll be.
Exactly. It's all about, you know, claims. And, you know, to remind our listeners, there is sort of a kind of a Mexican standoff between regulators and the supplement industry. And a compromise was arrived at. It's called DSHEA, the Dietary Supplement and Health and Education Act. And what it does is it permits claims, but they can't be disease claims. So they can be claims like, you know, optimizes joint health or, you know, but it can't be, you know, this is a treatment for osteoarthritis. You can't say, make a disease claim. So you're not at liberty to do that on commercial sites, but you can. I mean, it's in the interest of science, you can put it out there because these are scientific articles that are shared with the scientific community and hence the public. Okay, so what's come down the pike since the last time we've talked that's got you excited about CBD? Any new breakthrough studies?
Yes, I'd say the strongest I've seen have been on neurodegenerative diseases as well as mental health stuff. Like I said earlier with my grandmother and Parkinson's, it pretty much a month doesn't go by where I see something about helping around the symptoms of Parkinson's. And because Parkinson's manifests in so many different ways, it's pretty powerful to see what it can do for the pain involved as well as the motor control. And the other disease where I see good, solid, evidence of big studies come out fairly frequently is MS. And multiple sclerosis is the one that makes so much sense for this because it is both a neurodegenerative disorder, but it's also an autoimmune disorder because mm-hmm. the brain's own immune system is attacking right. the sheath that surround your neurons and allow the transmission to happen. And cannabinoids are particularly well known for neurodegeneration and for autoimmune disorders. And so it would make sense that when MS is right in the center of that Venn diagram, that the cannabinoids can really do a lot of help. And it's also the one I've probably heard the most amount of personal anecdotes in my life of people just trying it at not that high a level. And all of a sudden they're walking up the stairs when they hadn't in a couple months. And so that one really means a lot to me, as well as the mental health stuff. It would depression and anxiety disorders and things like that. For some of the other mental health conditions, you know, you're never always sure if it's going to work, but mm-hmm. for so many of them, it seems like with the safety window that you have here, this is worth trying. especially with the general lack of interactions with other drugs. This is something that's often added to what you're already taking, and it certainly shouldn't make things worse, and it could work well and synergize.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of ways it might work. I mean, there's a sort of a euphoriant effect, but very mild, because frankly, when I take CBD, I barely notice like a feel-good immediate response. But there's also the notion that anxiety and depression represent a form of brain inflammation. Hence, there's research that says that high-dose curcumin may be helpful for certain forms of depression. Certainly, fish oil has evinced efficacy against certain forms of depression and anxiety. And hence, chronic use, not like, I'm going to take some CBD and, I'm just going to feel really high from it. It's more of a subtle effect than that, in my opinion, on these mood issues. And clearly, when you mention things like multiple sclerosis, I mean, if you have an episode of an exacerbation of MS, you'll sometimes be hospitalized and you'll get intravenous high-dose corticosteroids, which is like a hammer blow to reduce the inflammation that might cause, myelin destruction in the brain. Or loss of vision. Sometimes you get optic neuritis as a herald of MS. And the classic treatment for that is steroids. So anything that, certainly we cannot equate CBD with, high-dose prednisone. But anything that even exerts a mild, chronic, low-grade anti-inflammatory effect, that could help with some of these neurodegenerative conditions. And the common denominator seems to be brain inflammation in many of these conditions.
It's true. And I think the cool part is, as we uncover more and more of the science, we see the pathways of why that makes sense. And for CBD to be seen as a Swiss Army knife in the brain, that's what arguably the greatest scientist around the endocannabinoid system is Dr. Vincenzo DiMarzo out of Italy. And he's in like the top 1% most cited papers in the world. So he's one of the top scientists in the world, and he just happens to be studying endocannabinoids. And he says when he sees all the different ways that CBD works in the brain, it's fascinating. And some of my hit videos have been the ones where I talk about, here's all the interactions that you're talking about. I mean, it's the major neurotransmitters you think of, like serotonin and dopamine, the opioids as well, but also GABA and glutamate, which aren't as sexy, but GABA is your brain's most common inhibitory neurotransmitter, mm-hmm. and glutamate is your most common excitatory neurotransmitter. So they're your basic green light and red light for the brain, and it's one more way that the cannabinoid system helps cause a homeostasis effect by gently turning things on and off. And this might be a little bit out in the neurochemical weeds for people, but one of those fascinating things that the endocannabinoid system does is in brain transmission, things like serotonin and dopamine, they go one way. They go from one neuron to the next one and tell them to increase or decrease their firing. What's unique about the endocannabinoids is that they do something called retrograde transmission. They go back against the flow of information and tell the upstream neuron to calm down its firing. Mm. So it is a negative feedback loop. And the only other thing doing that is nitric oxide, which is a gas in the air that's also an important brain molecule. But it's one of those ways that it is calming down the brain in a very unique pathway that seems very important.
And that is one of the reasons why there's actually a medical version of CBD that's been approved, which is a very high-dose prescription form of CBD. You'll provide me with the name of that product.
Epidiolex.
I'm sorry? Yes.
Epidiolex.
Epidiolex. Yeah. And it is used for refractory seizures. So I think precisely what you're talking about here is a tamping down of aberrant, brainstorms. That's what a seizure is. It's like an electrical storm within the brain, and CBD has the ability to sort of modulate that. Now, we can think of emotional storms, anxiety, depression, and various other mood disorders as being uncontrolled firings of neurons in the brain that are susceptible to gentle modulation through the use of, you know, some of these things. We know we may want to make any medical claims that this is, you know, over the counter. CBD is an anti-seizure medication. That's a bridge too far. There's only one that's approved, but at a very high dose. You didn't realize that you inadvertently punned there. You said, I don't want to get into the weeds here, but you did. You know, it's hard to avoid that sometimes when you're discussing this. Okay. And apropos of weed, you know, a lot of people say, well, what's the difference here? You know, CBD and, you know, now we're talking THC. And, you know, some of the products at CV Sciences are virtually bereft of THC. They're purified to the point where there's negligible THC. And others, deliberately, there's just a little dab of THC. Nothing like, you know, you'd get from a dispensary pot, but just a little bit. And so, to THC or not to THC, that is the question. How do we answer that?
For me, the amount of THC in a normal full spectrum hemp extract is going to be less than 1 milligram. It's something like a microdose of THC. And so mostly the product is CBD and the terpenes from a good full plant extract, and then that less than 1 milligram THC. But I would say always go for this full spectrum extract unless you are going to be tested for THC in some kind of job where it's going to be a problem. That's the only reason we have our THC free products is for people in sensitive jobs or in backwards places where it matters. Otherwise, I would say always go for full spectrum because you are not going to be feeling that THC, even if you are very sensitive. A very sensitive person would feel 1 milligram, perhaps a very elderly person who's naive, but you shouldn't be feeling any high effects from a full spectrum hemp extract. And again, you could go to cvresearch.info. There is a whole field of study on microdoses of THC, something like around 1 milligram or so or less, both in mice and in humans. And it turns out that it seems to be very good for brain health to be taking small amounts of THC. So, and also that small amount can be helpful for pain as well. And so I think sometimes when we say the THC helps the CBD to work better, I think that's true. I think sometimes also that tiny amount of THC is the secret sauce. And it's why, in general, when you stack up head-to-head isolated CBD versus the same amount of CBD in a full-spectrum hemp extract, the full-spectrum hemp extract works better. And I think that's not only the THC, but that's a good part of it. And so I would always say, if you have the option, go for a full-spectrum hemp extract. When it's well made, with a good process, it's going to be pulling out as many of those minor cannabinoids and those terpenes and other things in the plant as you can.
And just for comparison purposes, you can go to a marijuana dispensary in many states and you can get pot gummies, you know, basically marijuana gummies. How many milligrams of THC do they have by virtue of comparison?
Their starter levels would be about the level of the gummies that you can get from CV Sciences, which to me is fascinating. I don't quite know how we're getting away with it, but 2.5 milligrams in our gummies or 5 milligrams is the general amount. And that's enough where you can certainly feel it.
I'm talking about like retail pot, you know, like people who want to get stoned. How many milligrams are they getting to get that stoner effect? You say, you know, up to 2.5 or up to 5. Is very subtle.
I think at a dispensary, your bottom level would be 5. That would be, if you wanted to have something, a good starter level for someone. Yeah. And then if someone's really looking to get the next level, 10 to 20 to 30, 30, you're really getting somewhere. But also some people have very high tolerance, just naturally. Yep. And people can eat 100 milligrams of THC and barely feel it. While other people will take 2.5 milligrams and certainly get to a very warm, you know, elevated place, like a plus 2 kind of experience.
Yeah. That 100 milligram would be reserved for Willie Nelson and George Carlin, probably. But exactly. Not ordinary mortals. Okay, so which of the products, and can you differentiate in the product line at CV Sciences? Because, I mean, the wonderful thing about CV Sciences, it's kind of a, the good news is that they have a very wide variety of products. It's also the bad news, because at the entry level, I think it is a little bit bewildering, I think, for people who say, well, where do I start, and what are some of the options? So can you give us a quick entree into that?
Yeah, and I know it can be really tough when there's so many options. I do love the company for all the great formulations. I think they're really impressed with what they put together. And for most people, I would say just get the regular CBD oil and take it either by capsule or by gummy or as an oil.
Soft gels.
Yeah, soft gel capsules. Mm-hmm. All of those are going to be the same for people. That's really a matter of taste. The amount of time it's going to get into your system is going to be about the same. But after that, for the more specialized products, there are some, the three that I think of as most special are the Sleep, the Calm, and then the Reserve Sleep. So the Sleep Gummy is a CBD that also has things like L-theanine in it and a couple of other calming ingredients that works really well. And the Calm Gummy is similar. But then there's the Reserve Sleep. And this one is a really pretty amazing blend to me. It has 25, in each gummy, it has 25 milligrams of CBD, 2.5 milligrams of THC, 3 milligrams of melatonin, and then 5 milligrams of CBN, cannabinol, which that is the degradation product of THC in the plant. So if you let cannabis just sit there for a long time, your THC will slowly degrade into CBN. But it's also active, and it's the reason why older cannabis tends to make you more sleepy. So CBN is often called the sleepy cannabinoid. And so I know for my wife, she's tried all kinds of different sleep products over the years, and nothing was helping. It was finally this Reserve Sleep one that did it. And, you know, she doesn't quite know which ingredient is doing it, but she's tried melatonin before, she's tried CBD before, and she's tried CBD before, THC and CBD, and none of them really did the trick. They all helped a little bit. And so maybe it's a CBN, or maybe it is just a combination of all of them. And so I think that's the coolest formulation that I think that we have, is that that Reserve Sleep. There's a couple others that I think have really cool ingredients. That, I mean, I would be remiss in not mentioning our Relief product.
Yes, I was going to ask about that. That's actually one of my favorites. That's one of my favorite products.
Yeah, okay.
I take it daily.
Yeah, I think, okay, that's great. Because I've never seen anyone else make this. And I think all the science behind it is fascinating. Because that one is it's CBD, it is CBD acid, and then it is PEA. And I'll explain the last two quick. CBD acid. So in the plant, all of the cannabinoids in the plant, when it's sitting out in the field, are in their acidic form. And those are type like THC acid, CBD acid, and so on. And those in general don't cross the blood-brain barrier, but they're still active. And CBD acid is especially strong as an anti-inflammatory, maybe stronger than CBD. It's also very good for gut health and for balance of the gut homeostasis in general. And I have all the science for that one on cvresearch.info. But then the final ingredient, PEA. PEA is fascinating.
Exciting ingredient. Yeah, and it is, I guess, cannabinoid like in my understanding, and it's increasingly appearing in products. I think it's one of the up and coming ingredients.
I think so, and I could make a documentary about the story of this. And I've actually written a really long one on Plus CBD about the history of it. And I made a long video about it. Because the basic story is during World War II, they realized that kids who were getting fed egg yolks weren't getting as sick from anything. And so they tried to figure out why. And eventually they put together that it was this ingredient in egg yolks called PEA. And so they thought it was just something in fruits and legumes and stuff that helped us. Then they found it in mammals and then eventually in humans. And it turns out to be this endocannabinoid-like molecule. They don't technically call it an endocannabinoid because it doesn't bind to the CB1 receptor and the CB2 receptor. Mm-hmm. What it does is it binds to some of the nuclear receptors on your nucleus. And there, it changes genetic transcription. So it actually increases the levels of other molecules in the cell. And the thing it's been shown
to be... That's like a hormone-like effect. It's like testosterone or something in some ways.
In some ways, yeah. And it means it also works in a more chronic way as well. But the two things it's been best studied for then is really intense immune system boosting. And so they did giant studies in Eastern Europe behind the cold, behind the Iron Curtain, which is why the studies didn't get out there very well. But at a giant production factory, double-blind placebo of PEA, and the workers and children who were taking PEA simply got less sick every year from colds, flus, from whatever is going around. And so between the anti-inflammatory effects and the immune system effects, as well as the pain and brain protection effects, it's just, there's a reason that it's starting to blow up. And I suspect that it might be the next CBD, the next thing that really captures the attention, because the science on it is fantastic. I have a whole entry on it on cvresearch.info, and it is just and it's incredibly safe. I mean, CBD at huge levels, you can get some gut, you know, discomfort in those epileptic children. PEA, every study remarks upon its lack of side effects in humans. It just doesn't change anything for the worse. And as far as I know, there's no drug interactions at all, though, you know, that stuff always needs more study, but there hasn't been any found so far. So that relief product is just, to me, fascinating. And it's cool that you're taking it every day, because I think,
I think
if you're feeling it, the science is really there.
I take it for reducing DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness, which I'm prone to because I work out. And, you know, at a certain age, recovery is more challenging. And so, you know, I take a raft of nutrients to tamp down inflammation and to deal with pain, you know, including the usual things, you know, curcumin and fish oil and boswellan and glucosamine chondroitin. And I get plenty of those outside of CB Science products. But I like the relief product. And, you know, and I think that there's, as you mentioned, there's other salutary effects. It's what's called a pleiotropic molecule. It has a multiplicity of seemingly beneficial effects. And it is actually, you know, something that's natural. It's derived from, you know, it's a food-derived ingredient. So it's not like some kind of synthetic thing.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
I also wanted to ask you, okay, so explain this, because you're a wonky guy. You do a lot of, you know, research. You collect research. You present research. You lecture on research. But you're also a graphic novelist utilizing Moby Dick to help teach people about endocannabinoid science. So what's the tie-in?
It was when I was young in New York and a drug writer, I thought I'd write my first book and I'd make it about cannabis. And that was my hubris, because I'm like, oh, weed, how hard could it be? Write the book in a year?
Yeah.
That's it. And I didn't know nearly enough about the endocannabinoid system. I didn't know who visionaries like Jack Herrera were. And so it took me 5 years of research to just get the breadth of how long the human history is and how deep the science is. Mm-hmm. And I started to get overwhelmed, because I'm like, how am I going to tell this story? And so I was on my last research trip driving through the Pacific Northwest, and I decided I would take Moby Dick as my one big fat book to read, because I was calling anandamide, that first endocannabinoid neurotransmitter, I was calling it my great white whale, but I didn't know what that meant. And so as soon as I started this book, I thought it was one of the most fantastic things I've ever read in my life as a reader, but also I'm like, this is the structure, because when Melville talks about Captain Ahab and the darkness of America and the whaling industry and the racism of it, I can talk about the war on drugs and Harry Anslinger and Nixon and Reagan. And when he talks about the whales, I can use that metaphor of treating the human brain like an ocean. And we're always trying to explore the depths of this ocean, and we don't know a lot about it in a lot of ways. But there's all these different types of fish down there. There's serotonin dolphins. There's dopamine sharks. And then it turns out, just in the early 90s, we discovered that there are whales down there. And not only are there whales down there, there are billions of whales down there. They turn out to be one of the most widespread neurotransmitter systems in the brain. And we had no idea that they were there. And so using this whole imagery of will be a way to help explain the depths of the science beyond the normal thing that gets explained of just the two receptors and the two main neurotransmitters. And then the last part then would be, what are the cannabinoids from the plants? Well, they would be elephants. I guess I won't hold up the book, because only you would see it. But I'm just finishing republishing my second book about the solution to the structure of CBN, cannabinol. Oh. And so since whales are just elephants on land, that's going to be how it works. Basically, when you smoke weed, you're taking a whole bunch of elephant cannabinoids from the plant and throwing them into your brain, and they go to hang out at the same bars that the whales hang out at. And so CB1 is just a regular bar, and CB2 is a whale gay bar. And the metaphor just flows from there. And so it's going to do the whole 135 chapters of Moby Dick as 135 books. And I have it all mapped out to explain the entire history. And it just works perfectly. I've never had anything be so clear to me in my life. So I'm just going to keep doing this as the kids grow up. And yeah. And
but I could sort of see it as, you know, an allegory of, nature. Because there's so much about Moby Dick. It is about upholds the power of the natural world versus the sort of the puny impositions of man. And, you know, you could substitute, Big Pharma for, Captain Ahab. and ultimately, it may be that Big Pharma, tanks like poor old Captain Ahab and, gets drowned in its own malfeasance. Enough.
That's good.
Enough of that. I wanted to know as a sideline, and obviously that I think speaks to the enormous creativity that you bring to this field, because you're a deep thinker. And you're looking at the evidence out there in a way that is very, very creative. So good stuff. The products that are available, soft gels, there's the gummies, there's the sleep, there's the reserve sleep, there's the Calm, CB Calm product, which is a gummy. And then there's the relief products are soft gels, right? And then there's topicals also. Could we just speak a little bit about topicals? Because, I was talking to a guest the other day about magnesium. And, we're talking about oral consumption of magnesium, all the benefits that it confers. And then I said, you don't happen by any chance to make topical magnesium. And he said, oh, yes, we do. This is one of our recent sponsors, which is Jigsaw Health. They make a topical magnesium as well as oral magnesium products. But there's a lot about topical CBD. And is there really scientific evidence that it penetrates to the muscles or the nerves and can do something, as like a topical analgesic balm? I use it and I think it helps.
Yes. The nice part is one of the most convincing evidence to me is there's so many studies where it's talking to high-level athletes or people who exercise and simply having them use the products. And so these are people who are so used to being in tune with their bodies, and they are saying that the topicals are helping them, both applying a topical and also taking it orally to attack the problem from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of evidence for this the endocannabinoid system is so widespread in our skin. It's in most of the skin cell types that we have there. It's very heavily involved in the keratinocytes, which are your skin stem cells. Mm-hmm. And your skin replaces itself every month. And it's a very highly regulated process, of course. And the cannabinoids are right in there. And it seems to be some of the reasons that they can help beautify the skin as well, and have been an ingredient often in human history for skin conditions, as well as in beauty products, because the cannabinoids are helping with that. And it seems very clear that they can penetrate as far as the muscles, not only because athletes are saying that, but also the more recent example I can give is people are selling CBD THC bath bombs. And I remember one cancer patient telling me that on days when she was feeling lousy, she could throw one into the bathtub and she would feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And if she threw two in, she could get nice high and feel all the way better.
Mm-hmm.
And that the THC was getting into her system through the skin. And the more ancient version of that would be, if this is speculation, but perhaps true, if in the Hebrew Bible, cannabuzum means cannabis, then that means that the prescription for becoming a king or for becoming a priest was to anoint the person with an oil, about a liter of oil that had a pound of hemp in it. And so that should be enough to cause like a psychedelic level high.
Maybe that was an ingredient in the so-called balm of Gilead, you know, which is in the Bible, you know, maybe there was something.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if this is all true and there's a reason, you know, scholars don't completely dismiss it by any means, then to become a king or priest, you would have to have a psychedelic cannabis event before you do so, so that you would be better at what you did. And to me, that would make a lot of sense. If we could have politicians have some kind of positive psychoactive experience before they take office, that might help things in this world. But all that to say, they really are great at penetration, and the evidence for skin conditions that I have on CV Research at Info is especially extensive, especially with case reports of rare things. And I think that always speaks to how powerful it is when you have all these things that are refractory, nothing else has worked, they've been working at it for 5 years, then all of a sudden a cannabinoid helps in like a month or two.
Like inflammatory skin conditions, you know, is there potential for that to help, you know, with rashes and various kinds and itchy skin conditions, potentially even, you know, something like eczema or psoriasis. I'm not saying that I believe that's a panacea for those conditions, but it is anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. And it's certainly not a panacea. My best friend has eczema, and it did not help her.
Okay.
That being said, if you look up the evidence on eczema and psoriasis, you see a lot of people saying how much it helped them. And you also see that in the Reddit forums as well. And it's the funny part about these. I mean, even with the kids with epilepsy, 10 to 20% of them are non-responders to CBD. It just, nothing's going to work for everybody. But you have a lot of people with inflammatory, itchy skin conditions where the cannabinoids made a big difference. Also for wound healing, I just collected, there was a giant review paper on that just a week or two ago. And it was people who had open wounds for years and nothing was working. And then the cannabinoids finally closed the wound in a month or 2 months.
Wow.
And so that really speaks to something powerful going on.
Wow. That's exciting. All right. So our call to action today is visit pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman30 for 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. We really want to give you an opportunity to try some of these products for yourself or for your pet. As we mentioned in part one, pet products include Calming Care, Hip and Joint Health. That's brand new. CV Sciences is branching out into a veterinary application of CBD. So great stuff, Lex. And, you know, we'll visit with you in a few months as you accumulate more information, and you can provide us with some updates on what's happening in the world of endocannabinoid research. Once again, give out your information where people can find some of the research. And we have, you know, some listeners, you know, they just want a little bit of superficial discussion. Other listeners want to do a deep dive on the research, look at the actual research papers, which you summarize and collect. So where can they find those?
The easiest way to find out the summaries would be in my newsletter, Cannabinoids and the People, on Substack. The top three articles of the month, of the week, I always analyze for CV Sciences and have the other best right below it. Then the deep dive of everything on each organ is on cvresearch.info.
cvresearch.info. Okay.
CVResearch.info. Then, of course, the products and some of the writing is at pluscbdoil.com. And just in case you happen to be in the Moby Dick graphic novels about cannabis, that's at lexpelger.com.
Excellent. All right. Sounds a treat. Thank you very much, Lex, for joining us. And good night to you over there, because you're in Europe. And it's afternoon here, but the kitties have been put to bed. And pretty soon it'll be time for you to take your evening dose of reserve sleep and turn in for the night. Take care.
Oh, great. Thanks, you too. It's a pleasure.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover intelligent medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.